Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Targeted Talks. I'm your host, Jordan Sava. In this episode, we are joined by Dr. Nini Wu of Cardinal Health to discuss tech advancements in community oncology. Would you mind introducing yourself to our audience?
I'm Dr. Nini Wu, and I am the Chief Medical and Development Officer at Cardinal Health.
Thank you so much for joining us today. So to start, could you just share a little bit about your background and what prompted your passion for technology and community oncology?
Right now.
Yes, absolutely. So I was in practice for almost 20 years. So community hematologist oncologist with a focus on breast cancer. And over the course of my 20-year career, I had the opportunity to develop into leadership at my practice, as well as a network where that our practice was part of. And during that time frame, I learned that, you know, of course, over the course of 20 years, you see that technology progresses, you know, new therapies come about, new diagnostic tools, the advent of EHRs. So I do recall the days when I used to write everything down, and then we made the switch to the electronic health records. And I think I, like most physicians and other clinicians, will say that that's not the easiest thing to do. So very interesting challenges. Fast forward, with my leadership timeframe, I also was able to see implementations of different new technologies into practices. And the last few roles that I've had where I've been leading multiple practices as a leader in terms of both operations, as well as leading actually a multi-specialty group, I realized that technology is so critical, and there was a degree of fear of technology, both rightly and wrongly. So fear based out of hearsay, but also fear based out of negative experiences with implementations of new tools, tools which we all felt would be helpful, but if you don't go about it the best way, it really creates a lot of challenges that take a lot of time out of the practice. So with all of that in the last few years, that's led to my desire to be more focused on understanding how technologies can benefit, recognizing how best to, you know, affect that change, and helping clinicians and patients be able to embrace that change in an easier manner.
Definitely. Thank you for that. And off of that, we often hear about how exciting new technologies will revolutionize cancer care. And you've mentioned your perspective on tech might be a little different. So could you elaborate on that?
Yes. So I completely agree that there's many, many exciting things that are coming. So when we think about, you know, the ability of technology to support development of new therapies in oncology, so whether it's helping to develop new drugs that biopharma is focused on, or whether it is improvement of technology to help with reducing side effects, for instance, with radiation, right? So technologically advanced radiation delivering machines that reduce the side effects of patients, these are all wonderful things. I think we also will see the development of increased diagnostics that that AI can support as well. And I know I'm sure we'll end up talking a little bit more about AI. But when I think about the day-to-day experience, and I look at this from a clinician viewpoint, so having been a physician, from the viewpoint of being a leader in practices and helping support, you know, the staff, ensuring that everybody's able to work and enjoy what they do, I also look at it from the viewpoint of having been a patient myself. You know, I appreciate that I've not had cancer, but I have been a patient, have had to go to a clinical office, have had to get the paperwork done, and I've also supported family members who've had cancer. So when we think about it from that multi-view, I believe that there are many places that we need to think about that day-to-day activity. So, you know, be innovative, but be pragmatically innovative. So pragmatic innovation, when I think about all of the things that we should be helping to deliver to patients, that we can do in other areas. So how do we use technology in our day-to-day lives? Let's think about how we can utilize technology to improve that moment-to-moment, day-to-day experience if you have to connect with your practice as a patient, if your family members need to connect, if you need to get information, if you need to learn, if you need to go to the office, the experience inside those walls. And for the team that's delivering the care, how do we help them improve the experience that they can deliver at the same time improve their own experience being that care provider?
That's a really great answer. Thank you so much for that. And before we delve into some of the positives, what are some of the biggest challenges for implementing cutting-edge technologies in community oncology settings?
Yes, I would divide that into three areas. So, firstly, I think about the experience of what I alluded to a little bit, which is workflow. So, when we think about people who are working day to day and being very focused on delivering care, we know that when you change that workflow, we should always try and make it better, right? We should not be trying to add steps or create blockers in terms of the care. Unfortunately, sometimes technology does not behave just as we hope that it would. So, whether it creates more problems, whether it goes down because it wasn't well designed, or whether in the implementation it wasn't well done so that people are actually doing more steps rather than less. So, workflow is one. And that's typically a big reason why, when you actually approach any practice, not just community oncology practices, but other practices as well, and you say, hey, wouldn't you like to try something new? The first response, because they've learned so much already, is, I need to find out more. It's not embracing that change. You know, people are not lining up like at the Apple store for the new phone. They're concerned that this is actually going to create more problems. So that's one. Two is cost. As we think about the addition of each type of technology, whether it's a hardware or a software program, there's additional potential cost. Sometimes there's savings. Unfortunately, sometimes there isn't. So, cost is a barrier and a barrier as well for patients, right? For a practice, it may be that they can create something or they can purchase something, but perhaps patients don't want to buy it on their end. They need to have something that's given to them, or perhaps they don't actually have an advanced enough technology that allows them to utilize it in the best way. So thinking about the cost in multiple ways. And then finally, I think we've all learned from what's happened recently with respect to Change Healthcare is concerns around security and privacy. So security, cybersecurity, and of course, ensuring privacy. I put those together in one as one challenge, though it's much broader than that. I think that it's important. What's happened is terrible, but it's important that it's highlighted the need to be even more careful and to find ways to be more careful, because I think we all know that typically when there's a problem, it relates to a human issue, whether it's a social, and I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the correct term, but like phishing. Right. So it's breaking in through some form of misleading people. It's not just about the technology, but we have to think about now not only creating security around their technology, but how to actually train in a fashion where people at practices and even patients actually have a better understanding and an easier way to protect themselves.
That definitely all makes sense. And are there any specific technologies you see as facing more hurdles than others?
Well, despite my interest, I'm not actually a technologist. So I am sure that if you had a true, technologist here in the room, they would disagree with me. I think that when I look at it, I'm looking at it from the viewpoint of the human experience. So, coming back to what I've already talked a little bit about, I think it's two areas. One is about connections. So connecting from a technology viewpoint. So many applications and I suspect, on your phone, whatever you use, you probably have multiple screens of applications. So if you think about it in from a healthcare viewpoint, what are all those different applications that patients are expected and their families are expected to connect? So whether it is, a patient portal, whether it is a way for patients who are undergoing chemotherapy to be able to upload their own reported outcomes, basically reflect back to the practice how they're feeling, whether it is billing, whether it is their insurance application. So multiple applications, very confusing, all separated. So when I think about it, it's connecting in a way that the technology serves the person. And I center this with, I always think about the patient as the center. I think about the practices around them. For myself, Cardinal supports the practices, support the patient. So how can we help them think through how to connect with the patients? Right. So technology challenges there. And then also, when we think about data and insights, how do we actually help patients understand what is going on for them? So from a clinician viewpoint, I might think of the data that I receive every day and the insights, understanding what a medical aspect of a patient is, whether it's about their cancer, about their side effects, about their responses to therapy. Think about the picture of that population basis. But from the patient viewpoint, trying to think about how can we help the practitioners, the clinicians, the doctors, nurses, and others help the patients understand, help their families understand in a total viewpoint of where their challenges are in terms of both their health, but also what helps to make them feel better, so their experiences. So perhaps that wasn't quite the technology answer, but when I think about technology, those are the big challenges that I feel like we need to overcome.
Definitely. No, that was an excellent and very insightful answer. Thank you for sharing that. And next up, how do you see remote patient monitoring impacting the workflow and patient experience in community oncology settings?
Yeah, I'm very excited about remote patient monitoring from the viewpoint of the connection that that will offer to patients and their families to their clinicians, right, to those who are caring for them. I believe that we need to now think through and start planning for that impact to the workflow and ensure that that does not negate the positivity of the experience. Right. So when you simply add on another touch point with the patient and say to a practitioner, for instance, to a doctor or a nurse, oh, here, now you're going to get all of this information on an ongoing basis. That's too many touch points. You can imagine one person, they can't manage multi-touch points to that degree. So we have to be more thoughtful proactively as we bring these tools in and set expectations around what that actually means in terms of the touch point. So whether it's alerts when it's something that's out of the ordinary, right? We don't need to minute by minute hear about something that is standard or something that's like, you know, where it's supposed to be. We need to hear about where the problems are. And that needs to be highlighted to the right person who can address that problem. Or as time goes on, perhaps AI can support us in terms of being able to create those insights and those alerts in a way that they are more meaningful.
Wonderful. And are there any specific applications you find most promising?
Well, currently for me, I think what's most exciting, and of course everybody talks about, are the large language models. So when we think about ChatGPT, which of course is what people have talked about out there, I do want to reflect that I'm not advocating that we utilize ChatGPT for the care itself, but there are language models which are focused on healthcare, and I believe that they can be very helpful in numerous ways. And just as an example, you know, doing a project helping physicians and nurses with documentation. So documentation is a big challenge. No doubt you've heard that before. It's one of the leading causes of burnout among healthcare providers. So if AI can help with documentation, so AI with the large language models can help with documentation, such as scribing, that's a wonderful thing. If AI can help with creating those notes for patients so that they can have a better understanding in terms that they recognize at the level where they are, that will be significant as well, right? A lot of the medical notes are very complex and appropriately so. They're meant typically for other clinicians, for other physicians or nurses. That's not easy for the average patient. So we need to figure ways to meet them where they are. And I believe that the large language models and scribing can help us create the notes that make it easier for them to understand. So very excited there. And then also excited about, again, back to pragmatic aspects of care, robotic process automation. So creating processes which basically take away some of that repetitive action. So if there's something that's being done over and over again, and I'll take as an example, filling out forms. I'm sure that you, like I, when we're doing something online, often, you know, I get served up with, oh, you know, here, you can just fill out with, you know, your name, your address. These things can be done automatically. I think there's many ways that we can bring that technology more easily into the systems day to day. It is being done, but it's not being done as much as it can be. And I still, every time I go to, you know, a clinician's office, I'm still filling out paper forms. We need to get the paper forms away, right? We need to make it easier. And if they like paper forms, that's one thing, but we need to make it easier so it doesn't have to be done repetitively the same way. And I think there's huge opportunity there.
Definitely. It's so exciting how many advances there are and just is what continuing to be done. And obviously there is a lot of buzz around AI in oncology. So how do you envision AI analytics realistically adding value to community practices, considering limitations in resources?
Yes. I believe that a couple of the areas I've already referred to, so whether it's AI in terms of scribing or AI in terms of helping to review the reams and reams of documentation to ensure that we maintain the notes being up to date or the documents in a community office being up to date, or utilizing AI to pick out the information that's appropriate, insert it in the right place so that it saves some time. You know, they're not necessarily exciting things, but those are things which are, they're realistic, they're pragmatic, and they make a difference.
Definitely. And while these technologies hold promise, how can we ensure that they don't take away from the crucial element of patient care in community oncology?
Yes. Well, I think you've seen my theme. I'm very much about the experience, both as a physician, as an oncologist, but also thinking about my teams. I say my teams, though I'm not currently, you know, managing a practice itself, but I still consider that, you know, the where my heart is, and the focus is really about the people. So everything that I think about is about delivering care, but doing it in a way that supports the clinicians who are actually doing that. So when I think about how to enhance it, by definition, what we've talked about should be enhancing care. If we can pick the right tools, and if we can appropriately implement, appropriately teach the right workflows, that should improve the experience and that should save the time. When you think about saving time, that means that there's more time to spend with the patient. You know, just as let me, you know, flesh out an experience. When I've utilized and I've tested some of these tools, when I think about artificial intelligence, scribing, allowing one to have that conversation and for that conversation then to be put into a medical note. So it's not just transcription, but where the language model actually has been trained to put that into a note. So instead of spending the time, as patients have complained about, you know, not so much for myself, but have heard many times patients complain about, oh, well, the doctor's spending all their time typing. So instead of typing, you're talking. You're doing what we're doing right now, of course, on camera, but face to face. You're talking with your patient. You're paying attention to them. They're seeing the nuances of their expressions. That connection, which is what patients are looking for, is there. And yet the information that you need to do gets taken in and gets incorporated appropriately into a note. So it's those types of solutions that I think we need to focus on that day to day.
That definitely makes sense. It's a great answer. And how can we ensure access to these technologies and bridge the di digital divide for patients?
I think, you know, I come back to what I was saying before is let's think about the patients and what they need and meet them where they are. So, in the context of Cardinal as a company, of course, we are not directly connecting with the patients. We're connecting through the support that we give to the providers, to the clinicians. We're connecting through, or the pharmacists, right? So we do the services from a larger healthcare viewpoint. But by doing that, if we can help them support with tools and services that they need, the clinicians need to be able to care for patients and meet the patients where they are, then we're being successful. And just as an example, when we think about AI, or it doesn't even have to be AI, when we think about tools where one can connect with patients. You know, if I think about community oncology, I referred earlier to electronic, you know, patient-reported outcomes. So there are different ways to reach out to patients to check on them. It can be a call from a nurse. It can be a call or it can be a text that's sent through a HIPAA compliant application, or it can be a request for the patient to come and you know, sign into the patient portal and you know, fill out the forms, let us know how they are. If we think about how where patients are, many patients with cancer are older, and some of them may not be as facile from a technology viewpoint. They have difficulty with smartphones. My parents, significant difficulty with smartphones, right? They can't do this with their thumbs. But if we think about where technology is, why can't we have the capabilities? In fact, I should reframe and say, we have these capabilities, we need to implement them to reach out to the patients electronically for those who have the phone, the capability of answering, or their families of answering through that mobile application. Great, we get the information we need. For those who don't have that, it turns a electronic or a digital reach out into an analog reach out, and they get a phone call. And that phone call can be started off and called by a bot. And once they answer, switch over to a nurse or switch over to another individual who's able to work with them on that information. So I think about that from a broader viewpoint of circling the patient where they are. And then our role is to provide those tools and support services to help the clinicians get there.
That's definitely important to note. Thank you for that. And looking ahead, what other emerging technologies do you find particularly interesting for their potential impact on community oncology?
Well, I know we've talked about the day-to-day, so I think we'll leave that. Very excited about where technology is going. And I believe I already talked a little bit about that with respect to diagnostics. So increasing the tools that help the clinicians with their diagnoses. I'll give an example, and I think about, radiology. There's been talk about, oh, radiologists, we will not need as many radiologists in the future. I don't believe that's necessarily true. I think the tools that we have are going to highlight their ability to read the X-rays, the CTs, the MRIs, the PET scans with greater specificity. So, greater capabilities of not missing a diagnosis or of parsing out diagnoses. So that's one aspect. Another aspect is pathology. So being able to do more greater diagnoses and hone in with greater accuracy on those diagnostics. So diagnostics, great area. And of course, as I referenced, finding new therapies.
Definitely. And moving forward, how do you envision technology shaping the future of patient care in community oncology settings?
Yes, I think we're going to see more and more technologies. I mean, I've referenced many right now, whether it's supporting a practice, supporting the interaction of the clinicians with the patients. And then also, as more and more people enhance the technology utilization in their homes, I believe we will see a greater, let me frame it this way, like a practice without walls, right? Where you can actually reach people more in their homes, deliver more of the care in their homes, and in a broader fashion. We learned after COVID that there is care that can be delivered virtually, less so in oncology, right? Much of oncology is very high touch. People are looking for that human touch, and that's what we want to deliver. But with virtual capabilities, I do believe that we'll be able to do more of those services and bring more services into the home. So when we think about aspects that don't require them to come into the office, whether it is behavioral health, wellness support, genetic counseling, think about nutrition. So these are areas that can be brought more into the home, as well as with the type of monitoring that we alluded to before. So I think that's what we're going to be seeing in terms of the patient care, which makes sense in the community, right? People want to stay in the community. There's care that should be delivered in academic centers, but the vast majority of care can and should be delivered closer to home for patients.
Definitely. That's very exciting. It'll be very exciting to see where the field takes us moving forward. And just to conclude our conversation, what is your key message for community oncologists navigating the ever-evolving tech landscape?
It's yeah, what I've said to them is not to be afraid. So like medicine, I mean, we're oncologists, so we deal with tough stuff all the time. It's not an easy area, technology that is also not an easy area. I mean, we should make it easy. It's not an easy area because there's so many advances happening very, very quickly. So typically, I would say when we've been asked is, one is to always think about what does this mean for the patients and what does it mean for the team? Two is to not go it alone. Find groups that you can work with, find a network of like-minded individuals where you can come together and think about it very proactively. And like in any, I'll say business, but like have a plan. Have a plan. We have plans for the care of our patients, right? We give our patients a care plan. We have a plan for the technology that a practice may need so that you don't get caught up in something that's shiny today, but perhaps not as useful. And you think about how do you link things to make it easier for everyone, and how do you ensure that you maintain the appropriate security and privacy?
Wonderful. And that is everything I have, but is there anything I missed or anything else that you'd like to add?
I can only say that it's a very exciting world. You know, I'm thrilled that this is an area I want to focus on, which is basically digital and digital health as we think about the future, and love the fact that that we can do this in community oncology.